Somebody recently, well, by the way, we are speaking about the reflections of Christ in you. Y'all remember that, right? Somebody recently said to my wife, all the boys in your family looks like Pastor. I'm thinking, are they all that cute? But I've been told that in one way or the other, in one shape or another, all the boys on the family looks like the old man. Which supposed to be? Because they are my grandchildren. They are my children, my grandchildren. And usually, Marsha will tell you, when my kids were born, I would go and touch their ears. Why? Because maybe you can see, this little ear here has a little piece of meat. And that was a trademark of the Santos. So all of them had them. All right, we're in good shape. Why did they have that? It's a reflection of Daddy in them. It's a reflection of who they are. And no matter what they may think about themselves, if all of them would one day turn around and say, I'm not a Santos, that's all right. There's the mark. We, as children of God, are supposed to reflect the image of God in us. And that image of God is manifested by the way that we talk, by the way that we live, by the way that we conduct ourselves. Are we together here? It is so sad and unfortunate that there are many people out there that call themselves Christian, but the last thing that they will resemble is God Himself. If people would understand that God, that Christ in them, is the hope of glory, we would have less Christian goofing around. And tonight, I want to show you a few things that we should adjust in our vocabulary as Christ reflects Himself in us. As a proof that Jesus Christ's life is reflected in you, you will beat up fear. What? Brother Harry, can you please give me 2 Timothy 1:7? Christ's reflections in you will beat up fear. Let's read it together. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. If you pay attention to this, the scriptures say, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if a believer is fearful, somebody else gave them that spirit. Are you with me here? Who was it? Was it the devil? I don't know. God wasn't. It wasn't God, that's for sure. Because God will not give you a spirit to cause you to be fearful. What about the fear of God? That's a different story. We're talking about a spirit here. We're talking about a spirit here. We're talking about a spirit here. A force that will manipulate and control one's life. So as Christ is reflected in you, fear is not on the menu. Are we together so far? The problem with fear is when the fear manages to overpower anybody, you start losing your mind. Are you with me here? The beauty about this is that God gave you a spirit of power. which is the opposite of fear. Usually people feel fearful because they are powerless. Isn't that right? But God gave us enough juice to conquer fear. He not only gave us power, which suppresses fear, but also He gave us love, which comforts our heart. And then He also gave us a sound mind that is the end result of fear. How many times have you heard that people were fearful and they did some crazy stuff? Huh? As Christ reflects in you and I, fear is not in the menu. Tell your neighbor, fear is not on my menu. The reflection of Christ in you will help you and I to live a life of power. I could say fearless life. As Christ reflects in you, love will come through our pores. Pores, right? As Christ reflects in you and I, we will have control of our mind. When the Christ reflects in you, number two, the last thing that you're going to lack is faith. Did you get that? Brother, please give me Romans 12:3. When the Christ reflects in you, the last thing that you're going to lack is faith. And here's the proof. Sometimes Christians speak wrongly, well, brother, I don't have that kind of faith, or I don't have too much faith. Some will say, I have a very little faith. If you have a little faith, you can tell a mountain to go to one side, to the other, and it will go. What I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Why? Lack of faith is not on the menu, because Christ, when He is in you, God give each one of us a measure of faith. How big is that measure? I don't know. I can't see it inside your heart. But the fact is, there is nobody that came to God, nobody that came to Christ that is without faith. Now let me tell you what, there is a lot out there. Unwillingness to believe. Unwillingness to submit. I know a young lady that used to come here that know that she's not supposed to be dating an unbeliever. And this young lady, she used to come here many years ago, and she comes in and asks me to pray that God will save this unbeliever. I said, I'm not going to do that. And some of you know the person. So this young lady now goes to dating websites and is dating an unbeliever, and last I heard, he moved in. Is that lack of faith? No. It's unwillingness to obey. And the excuse that is given, well, I don't have that big of a faith to wait on the Lord to give me for a husband. I tell you, you got much, much more than that. Because when you put yourself in harm's way dating an unbeliever, it takes a lot of faith. And once they start getting beat up, they get to their senses. Their faith kicks in. Folks, if you have ever come to Christ, and Christ is reflecting in you, you will never be faithless, because God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. Tell your neighbor, you got a measure of faith. when Christ is reflected in you, Satan will have no control over your life. Did anybody hear what I said? When the Christ is reflected in you, Satan has no control over your life. When it's done in the mind, 1 John 4:4. When the Christ is reflected in you, Satan does not have any control upon your life. Just like that brother that likes the drinking. Oh, preacher, I can't help. Every time I pass by a liquor store, seems like all the smell of the liquors come my way. And I can't overcome it. Baloney. Christ is not yet reflected in you. Let's read it. You are of God, little children, and
overcome them.
Huh. My Lord. When the Christ reflects on you, you have overcome them. Them who? The devil, the world, the addictions, and all the garbage, the flesh, and all the garbage in between. Why do you say that? Because he who is in you, within you, guess what? Is greater than the world. Reach out, somebody say, the devil don't have control over my life. He that is in me is greater. Come on, tell the neighbor, he that is in me is greater than anything else out there. So when the God, when the Christ is reflecting in you, the story that, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I will leave this habit bit by bit, baloney. Baloney. Well, I know a lot of people, they are good people. Yeah, they are. Good pagan people. They good Christian, they go to church, but they still smoke. They have never been set free. Because if you call yourself a Christian, you still smoke, then the one who is in you is not greater than the world. Because it says in here that we have what?
Overcome.
Do you know what overcome means? You have overpowered it. You have power over it, not it over you. Watch this. Give me the New Living Translation there, brother. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already
overcome.
Because did you get the point? You have already won a victory. Now, friends, you know, I have a lot of bad friends. You're supposed to be winning them to Christ. Now, it got a little crazy. Put the Message Bible there, brother. This guy is a little out of wacko, but I still want you to see. My dear children, you come from God and you have already tell your neighbor, the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything out there. When the Christ is reflected in you, you will not accept defeat. Say with me, I will not accept defeat.
I will not accept defeat.
2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that when the Christ is reflecting you, you should not accept defeat. Why? Because the Bible tells us that God, what? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. When Christ is reflecting in you, you should not accept defeat because the Bible says, let's read it. Now, thanks be to God who always led us and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I will not accept defeat because God leads us in triumph. Look at your neighbor and say, how are you doing, triumphant one? You know what? Let me see the King James here. Yes. Okay, same thing. Now give me the Never Inspired Version. Triumphal procession. God lead us always in triumphal procession. Now, may I have the Message Bible, please? And I got it. Thank God. In the Messiah, in Christ, God lead us in one. Through us. He brings everywhere we go. My Lord. My Lord. Are y'all listening to the word? Everywhere where we go, from place to place, is one perpetual victory parade. And that will happen when the Christ is reflected in you. Are we together so far? Christian people should not live in depression. All they have to do is recall to mind God's loving kindness, God's compassion, and God's faithfulness. Brother, give me Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and maybe 23. Let's start with verse 21. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 21. Godly people cannot live in depression. Why? When the tough time comes, you recall the fact, this, I recall to my mind. Why do I have to do that? Therefore, I have hope. What are you talking about? I'm coming. But before I go further, I want to tell you that there's going to be a situation in life, there's going to be time in life that seems like hell broke loose. Let it be. We will recall, call to mind, huh? So you may have hope of what? Verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not concerned. Because his compassions fail not. No matter how messy things are, the Lord's mercy will not consume us, and his compassion will never fail you. Listen to verse 23. It's one of my favorites. God's mercies and compassion are reach out to somebody, say, God's grace is new for you every morning. You and I have no reason to be depressed. Folks, I'm trying to show you here that we, from all people, should allow Jesus to reflect in our lives. God's people should never be anxious upset and worried when the Christ reflects on them. 1 Peter 5:7. Preacher, you are asking things that is impossible. No, it's not. The Bible says over there, it's a choice that we can make. Why should you and I feel anxious or even worry and sometimes upset when we have a promise like this? Casting? Why? If your mother and your father give up on you, somebody else will pick you up. His name is Jesus. If your mother and your father give up on you, somebody else cares for you. Jesus himself cares for you. And I'm very careful. Get your life together and come under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. Give me the New Living Translation here, brother. Let's read it. Give all. Reach out to somebody and give your worries to God. It's too heavy. Now, the Message Bible have it in a crazy way. I still want to show you. Live carefree. Isn't that great? Carefree. When the Christ is reflecting on you, you have no business to be worried or anxious about anything, because he cares a lot about you. Now here is the last scripture of the night, and I'm going to stop here because I want to drive a point home. When the Christ is reflected in you, you can never be in bondage. Are we together so far? Well, I know some good people that they are good Christian, they are still a slave of cigarettes, they are still a slave of sex, they are still a slave of internet. They are not set free yet. Brother Harry, give me please 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. You and I should never, ever, 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 ever be in bondage when we know this precious promise. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, are we together yet? Christian people does not supposed to live in bondage. Whatever type of bondage that is. Like that Alabama guy told us one time, there was this brother that he was the best Christian in town. He had only one weakness: alcohol. So he got locked up a few times for DUI. Well, that morning, he went to church, and the sermon was about Jesus in Cana of Galilee, the first miracle of Jesus at the wedding. You remember that, right? When Jesus came and Mary said, the wine finished. Jesus said, woman, what do I have to do with you? And then she told, do whatever he say. And Jesus told the guy, okay, fill up all the pots that you have with water. And they did. And they did, we did it. Now take it and show it to the master. And they did, and the man said, man, what's wrong with you? With the bride, with the groom. Everybody serves the best wine first and leave the worst wine for last when everybody's halfway drunk. But you keeping the best wine for last. And he heard that sermon, and he couldn't resist. Y'all know the story. He couldn't resist. On his way out, he stopped, and he kind of, boom, 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 and he's driving his way back home, and he's wavering on the highway, and he had a little bottle on the console of the car. State trooper pulled him. Hi there. Hi, Mr. Officer. Can you come out of the car? Yes, sir. Where are you coming from? From church. You coming from church? Yes, sir. Church just finished a few hours ago. What was the preaching? About Jesus. What did the preacher say? Jesus multiplied water. He turned water into wine. I see. Do you mind if I search your car? No, sir. What is that bottle there? Water. What is that bottle over there on the console? Water. Trooper pick up the bottle and smell. This is water. This is wine. He did it again. So that guy was helpless. He had not yet met the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Christian people have not called to be in bondage. Christian people have not called to be enslaved by anything or anywhere of any kind. There's only one thing that we're supposed to be enslaved of, and that is God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's the only slavery that I will take upon me. Why? Because I'm crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. It's Christ who's living in me right now. And this life that I now live, I live by faith on the Son of God. Are you together with me? When the Christ is reflecting in you, people will have the exquisite perfume of God working in you. You know, I think many of you have experienced people look at you and say, something different about you. Have you ever heard that? And if you were smart enough, you say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in me. And you know what their next question will be? Where do you attend? And none of them say they will show up in that door because they saw Christ reflecting in you. Now, how many times do you think that somebody will come to church if they find you every week at the pub or at the joint, sipping up? Are you with me here? Folks, you and I have been called to freedom. And we have no business to be in bondage of any kind. What is drinking, smoking, pornography, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, whatever it is. God has called you and I to live in freedom. And you know, when we have another master, Jesus Christ loses his place on the center of our life. The risk when we live in bondage is that if death comes and takes us up, where are you going to go? Whose master are you serving? What will be the outcome? I'm challenging you right now to give God an opportunity to show you what he can do in you, through you. Like Paul said to the Colossians, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Would you bow your head with me? Father God, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you may help us to understand that you have called us to freedom. That when Christ reflects in us, everything changes. Everything. Our temperament, our habits, our practices, our way of speaking, dressing. Lord, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ may become, if he's not yet, the focal point of our lives, the central person of our lives tonight. And if there is anybody here yet, Lord, under bondage. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will have the willingness and the desire to be set free tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Cecil.